Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew. I'll be continuing and reading from the 25th chapter, starting with verse 14. And I invite you now to hear these words. I'm sorry, I'm starting with, did I say 13 or 14? Okay. We're starting with 14. For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow, and I gather where I did not scatter, then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and those who will have an abundance from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, in the hearing of Scripture, yet again we find ourselves sitting at the feet of Jesus to hear his teaching through this parable, one that may challenge us, one that may make us curious, one that I hope will convict us into faithful and strong living in the name of your Son, Jesus. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So like last week, let's just kind of catch ourselves up. We are in some really hard teachings from Jesus. Jesus often would gather those and give what I would call the Jesus' time of biblical sermon illustrations, right, where we tell a story in a way to bring about some type of knowledge, some type of lesson that needs to be learned, and the parable was no different. And sometimes the parables were very difficult to understand. I don't think it makes it any easier for us 2,000 years later to understand them as much as if we had been sitting at the feet of Jesus. And yet we hear it today as a way of encouraging and strengthening our community right now. For those who were here or maybe heard the message last week, we heard about this idea of faith and how the oil in the lamps was representative of that. And how sometimes we're afraid that our faith will falter or we don't have enough or we need to go find it. And we may miss the opportunity to be with Jesus because we've gone off in a way, in a place where we're taken far away. And as I reflect on it this week, that I wonder sometimes if our own journeys are fraught with struggles and divergent paths. And where does our faith in Christ help us in those times of difficulty? Because we also know that within the life of Jesus, that Jesus is nearing the end of his ministry. He is getting to the very end of his journey. And there's knowledge and tasks that he's trying to impart, that he's trying to get them to understand the seriousness of what is going to be happening in the future. He's preparing them for when he is no longer present. They just don't quite have it figured out yet. And as I think about the 10 talents, we can think of them simply as money, right? You know, like, oh my goodness, here's, you know, $100. Do with it what I need you to do and then return it. Or here's $20 and then, you know, me come back and, you know, you're going to give the master $40. But how often are we given something that we just hold on to or put aside and not do anything with it? I remember, and maybe some of you have this as well, that there are some things that we may treasure that others do not. And what I mean by that is how many of you had to clean or had a parent or a grandparent who passed away and you had to go through their belongings, right, to settle their estate. And things that your grandparent or parent or loved one treasured may not have the same value that you might, you know, to you. I say this with all honesty and truth that I've told my parents, I don't want your stuff. And they've heard me, and my dad has taken that seriously, and there is nothing in his house. And I hold that in truth because I know that when the time comes for me to leave, I know my children are not going to want my stuff. So I have to deal with it. I have to take care of it. I have to disposition it. And for those of you who have journeyed with me a little bit know that I've recently moved into a new home and I've carried a lot of stuff from that place into the new place. And I'm having to go through it and say, I don't need all of this, right? What I thought was important or what I had value attached to something maybe didn't really have that value anymore. Jeffrey, what percentage of my clothes do you think is still hanging in the closet after my purge yesterday? 10%. Literally, I could have stood on the mountain of clothes and... But it's not going to the trash, it's going to be donated. Okay. But I realized that I was holding on to all of these clothes that, one, I haven't worn in 15 years. Two, there's no way in God's timing or my timing left I will ever fit into 50% of the clothes. If I did fit into them, I'm pretty sure that the 90s would call and ask for their clothes back. But you see what I'm saying, and the fact that I had all of these things, and I just realized that I couldn't live with all of this anymore. I needed to let go of what that was. What was it that was actually of value to me? And what is hanging in my closet are things I legitimately wear. I know that if they were in the clean clothes pile that hasn't been folded yet, then chances are it needs to stay. Do you know what I mean? Now, I say that because this story is the master is entrusting with talents, right? 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, and talking about it being buried, of not doing anything with it. And when we think about that, what is it of value that Jesus is handing over to them, right? So for some, it might have been leadership of the church. If you think about the disciples, those were Jesus's inner circle people. And they are the ones that would have to orchestrate and, you know, help this new faith take root and grow. We know that there are imperfect leaders that were part of that story. Peter, and later Thomas, who he gets a bad rap for being doubting Thomas, right? And then we know that there were more beyond that. But through their attention and holding on to the faith of Christ, they were able to multiply the community of believers for Jesus. And then we think about 2 talents. Maybe people who weren't necessarily leaders, but still had an important role. Maybe they were house hosts for those community gatherings. They were the ones who made sure that the widows were fed or the orphans were taken care of. That they were the ones that were kind of doing the behind the scenes kind of things. That maybe they weren't out in the front, but they were still doing the work of Jesus. And then you have those who maybe had been present with Jesus, who know that knew the story and knew the importance of what God was doing in order to reconcile all of creation together, and maybe they did nothing. Right? They had some part to play in the building up of the kingdom, and they didn't. They froze. They hid that responsibility. And when we think about Jesus coming or the master coming back, there is this accounting that has to be done of have we lived our lives faithfully according to the teachings of Jesus? We know this because guess what? Next week's text is not any easier because it's talking about separating the sheep from the goats. And claiming Christ as King. These are the last moments that Jesus has to really hit home with the importance of what his work has culminated to. But the work doesn't stop simply because Jesus is no longer present with them. That Jesus' teaching is shared. The belief of who God is and the knowledge of who God is to be shared. The actions that Jesus called his followers to do is meant to be shared. What are the things that Jesus calls us to? To care for the sick, for the lonely, for those who need clothing, housing, food, presence. And if we see that need and do nothing, we are like the one given a talent who has buried it in the ground. So yeah, this is a hard one that we could think about money and say, oh, it's just about resources, financial resources. We spent a long time talking about that in September and October, right? But this is different. This is where are those touch points of your faith and belief in Christ? Do you hold to the teachings that Jesus calls us to love our neighbors? The ones that the religious structures and society wants to overlook. The ones who are on the fringes, the outcast, on the outskirts. The ones who are overlooked and treated as being invisible. That's where we are today. Now, are we all gifted in the same ways? No. God has specific things that has been given to each and every one of you that is important for building up the kingdom of God. I mean, I'm looking at my musical friends and I'm saying, I don't have the ability to sing. That is not a gift that I need to share with the world. Jeffrey, please don't say anything. But I can rock a spreadsheet, right? Or maybe I can make a meal for someone, or someone can make a meal for someone else, right? Or maybe one of you are fantastic letter writers. Does anybody even know the art of writing letters anymore? We're so used to texting and emails, you know, but sometimes it's just like, oh my goodness, that person can still write cursive because it's not taught in elementary schools anymore, right? Of that, I'm thinking about you today and I hope you're all right. That's a talent. Having a heart for those who maybe need a word of encouragement, right? Or maybe for parents with young children where you just think your whole life is consumed by the needs of your children. That is your gift to give right now. And it can be exhausting. And yet one of the most worthwhile things that you could be doing. And the fact that you are here to hear scripture and offer praise means that your place of faith, your gift of that is one that you want to share with your own children. That you are multiplying the truth of Christ so that it may be shared into the world. So friends, whatever it is that you are inherently gifted at, you may not even think that there is something that you're good at, but you are good because God has made you good. Not only good, but you are very good. So I'm going to encourage you today to take whatever talent it is that you have been given to build on it, to multiply it, to help it grow. Maybe that'll be in your workplace, at home, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your I want to say extracurricular activities, but the last time I checked, none of y'all were in school. But, you know, like your social peer groups, well, some of you are. Well, you're in school, but you need to be working. And you need to be getting those good grades and moving on, right? And I'm looking at my kids that are in middle school and high school, right? Your job right now is to do what you need to do so that you can continue to grow. And to be a support to your friends and allow your friends to be a support to you when this world is so hard to live in. And parents of teens and college age students and ones who have just recently moved out, our hearts are breaking. And yet we will share the love of God because that is what we've been called to do. So don't bury yourself right now. If you don't know how you can make that shine or be present or multiply it, talk to me. We'll find some creative thing to do because there is something that will be beautiful that comes from it. Things that we can't even imagine. And I know certainly we live in the now and the not yet, meaning that Christ was here, Christ died, Christ rose from the dead, and there is this promise that the kingdom of God will be realized. And when that happens, how beautiful will it be when your gifts and talents are part of that growth? Don't bury your treasure. Follow and be firm in your faith in Christ, that the love of God may multiply and grow until all is reconciled into that perfect love that God desires for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.